All right, let's just talk about some velocity changes in spring versus last year. Just got to fill up something before I talk about the board sharing stuff, so it doesn't seem like I'm just making a podcast just for that, which I am. So just looking at the fastball, four-seam, risers in spring training so far are Kyle Freeland, up 3.5 miles an hour. Joey Wentz, Clay Holmes is up two. Mason Miller's up 2 miles an hour. Jose Buto, Jake Irvin up 1.5. Cutter Crawford's up 1.5. Quinn Priester's up one in a bit. Terry Skrubel, Ryan Weathers up to 95, almost 96 on it. Fowler's on the velocity. Tanner Rainey, I don't even know, does this make sense? But according to the data, he's down over 6 miles an hour. Kind of sucks. I was taking him in some Draft Champions Leagues. Ronaldo Lopez won the fifth starter job, but he is down over 3.5 from 90, almost 98 to 94. But I guess difference starter versus reliever. Helsley, as you know, is down over 3 miles an hour. Taiwan Walker's down to 89 from 92. Kimbrel's down 2.5. Joe Jimenez is down. Louis Varland's down two and a bit, but that's kind of expected going the roles. Francis Bowden, or Bowden Francis, sorry, same type of thing. Joan Duran was down. We know he's hurt. He was down like almost two from 102 to 100. That's not normal. What else is going on here? Bassett's down one, but we all overreacted to that last year. Grayson Rodriguez is down about 1 mile an hour. Those with no data from last year that have a really fast fastball. Jackson Job, 100. Wilmer Flores, Anthony Bender. Could be interesting if Tanner Scott screws up. Jared Jones, 98. Luis Gil, 97. Looking at the sinker, risers on the sinker. Clark Schmidt, over 2.5. Kyle Freeland, again. Jose Buto, again. Luis Ortiz, F. Ortiz. Skubal, a lot of the same people you'll see here. Wes Parsons on the Jays, another name. Gavin Hollowell. On the decline side, you got Chargois, Meza, Jay Jackson. Who's relevant here? Teron's down two. Lance Lynn's down two. Winkowski's down two. Alcala's down 1.6. Chapman's down 1.5. Flaherty's down one. Wheeler's down one. Nothing too notable. Those with no data from last year that have fast, high velocities here. Sixto Sanchez, 98.3. Interesting. Cutters. Risers are Joey Wentz, Cole Sands, Hollowell again, Clark Schmidt again, Cutter Crawford again. A lot of the usual suspects. Ryan Nelson's there, like almost one. Aaron Civale's up and up mile an hour. Who's down? Framber Valdez on the cutters, down 5 miles an hour. Does that make sense? Is there some sort of classification issue? I don't know. Nick Pivetta is down over two. Flaherty's down about two again. Rodon is down about two. Walk is down about one. Mitch Keller's down one. Those with no data last year that are good. Jackson Job, 95. Yuriel Rodriguez, 94. Jake Irvin, 91. Barrios, is that a new pitch? I don't know. Tyler McGill, 90. So these are the cutters. What else did I look at? We looked at the reserve rounds of auctions, and we saw that Max Meyer was the only one that was drafted. I did 6 of these, 16. Max Meyer was the only one drafted in the reserve rounds of all of them. Let's see if I can pull this up quickly. I believe Quintana was the one that was drafted in almost all of them. But if you look at the players that were being drafted frequently, like not the ones like they were drafted in one or two of the 16, like at the top that really snuck into the reserve rounds, like you saw Canning, you saw Waka, a Severino, but you shouldn't expect that. Andrew Abbott, JP Crawford, Seary, Reese Olson, they all made it to the reserve rounds at some point. But the guys, Louis Varland was in six of them. Wouldn't happen anymore. Johan Rojas was a popular one at the start of these. John Gray, Max Scherzer, Silseth, Logan Allen, Rosario, Bryce Terang. These are the guys you expect to go like right in the early reserve rounds. Mats, Clark Schmidt, Bader, Pham, Taillon. I don't know. Should I make the list available? Theo Hall was there, but he'd be up. AJ Puck. Remember, these were going on throughout all draft season. So let's talk about the sharing the draft boards and posting the draft boards. What should happen? Should the NFBC be sharing all the ADP? Should they be sharing the draft orders? Should they be sharing the draft boards? Should people be sharing draft boards with each other behind the scenes? Should people be live streaming drafts with names, without names? What should happen? So I'm going to go and take a break here, but then I'm going to come back and talk about it. All right, sound should be a lot better in here. Recorded the first bit in my office. I just did the main event. Drafted in the office, so what you heard before probably sounds kind of shitty, but this might sound a bit better. I do want to talk about the board sharing and draft sharing, ADP and stuff like that. Figured it's better to talk about it on a podcast and whine on Twitter. I think I think it's cooler to whine about fantasy baseball on a podcast than it is on Twitter, for sure. So let's do it. First of all, I think there's some confusion about, well, at least at first, about disclosing the ADP and disclosing the ADP with the draft order so you can see people's picks. Now, what was done historically, from my understanding, is the draft orders were disclosed. So if you have ADP from one day for the main event, and there was just one draft, you can sort by that day. And if you combine that with knowing the draft order, you can see every individual's picks. So you can have their draft board, basically with the name on it. Now, there was some discussion, and what they decided to do was not produce ADP unless there was five drafts complete. So that would eliminate the possibility of searching that first main event after that was done and just basically finding people's picks. However, they did that along with sharing the draft order. Now, the problem with that is after five drafts are complete, you can still go back to March 12th, the first day of the main event, and see what everyone took on March 12th. And I was in that draft, so people could go back and see my draft if they were playing against me in Las Vegas, and they could see my picks. So what they decided to do is they changed it again, and they said, you know what, we're now going to make the ADP available by day. However, we are now not going to disclose the draft orders. So you can go back and search by day after the five are done. We're not going to show you the draft order. So you can't see what people did unless you had the draft order, unless somebody gave you that draft order or posted the draft order. All right, me personally, it's obvious why I don't want the board shared with the name, because if I draft somebody in like round 9, you can jump them to round 8. If you think the trade-off's worth it, if it's worth it for you to pass on your normally round 8 player to get my round 9 player, because for whatever reason you've done that analysis, it's worth it, that could hurt me. You could also see that I'm drafting a player, or me and several other people are drafting a player in round 19, and you feel he's around 15 or 16 value, but you can just play the waiting game. You know, you can play the waiting game and get other players in round 15, 16, 17, 18 and wait to round 19 or take in round 18. It's just improving your team knowing my tendencies. And to, for me, it's just all about, it's not about copying. It's more about getting as many players that I like on my team as possible. So, like, if I'm drafting near the turn, let's say I'm pick number 3, and players 1 and 2, I know, like a certain player, and I'm targeting that player along with another player, I will take that player before their picks, and then roll the dice and hope that other player that I'm not really sure if they like or not, they might take him, comes back to me. It's all like that. It's not, I don't care, who's picking who because I want to copy them. Like, I care who's taking who and where they're taking them, because I want to, like I said, get as many of my players on my team as possible. And knowing players' tendencies makes that easier for me. I don't care if it's Phil or Yancey. It doesn't matter. I want to know what both of them are doing, because I could love the same player that a bad player has been taking, and I could hate the same player that a great player has been taking. It doesn't matter to me about that. Now let's talk about the analysts, streaming boards or posting boards. If you want to post your own board, fine. Doesn't matter to me. If you're streaming a draft and I'm in that and you're posting my name with my picks without my consent, that's completely offside. Like, for years and years and years, the boards have been streamed with no names across the top. There's the NFBC specifically gives a clean board with no names for that reason. They're not doing that just for shits and giggles. They're doing that for a reason. And you can turn that big sticker off, which most people have by now. So it sort of defeats the purpose of scrubbing the names off if you're going to keep that big sticker on. It's kind of fucking stupid, if you ask me, to do that. Now you could say, well, this is like a specialty league that you join, but like, how do I know it? How do I know what it is? How does everyone know? Like, that's kind of unfair. You're using my name, my picks to further your brand that you're selling, or you're streaming a draft to give your site notoriety, give yourself a brand, or sell a product directly or indirectly. No, that doesn't fly. And I think it's pretty obvious. And Greg, the owner of the NFBC, he said a very important word when he was confronted on this topic about posting the board of names, and the word that he used was etiquette. And it's not good etiquette to post other people's names, and that's been the case for a long time. So all these analysts really have nothing to eat. The people selling product, the analysts, the industry people, they got nothing to lose. They've already sold their soul. They're posting their boards, they're selling their picks, they're selling their advice, which is fine. But of course they're going to want to level the playing field for someone like myself who doesn't sell anything. And I want to keep my picks more or less quiet so I can do multiple drafts and not feel like I have to jump my players. That's another thing. I feel like I have to keep moving my players up, making my drafts worse and worse because people might see it. Now, the analysts, they're getting paid for it. So if you told me that, like, you're going to give me $100 for my main event board, I'm like, yeah, for sure, I'll take $100. Like, it's not worth that much, but like, these people are getting paid for it. So it's a completely different story. It's like, we're standing outside the pool. They're in a bathing suit. They're just soaking wet. And I'm dressed in my normal clothes or like in a suit or whatever. And they're like, let's dump water on ourselves. Like, you don't care. You're already wet. You're just went in the swimming pool. I'm wearing my work clothes. I don't want to get wet. Like fuck off. Right. You know what I mean? So, and they have this notion that like, that their like rankings or whatever product they put out is more valuable than the high stakes players' boards. I don't give, like,
the rankings that people put out or like their articles, couldn't give a fuck about that, like compared to like a board. I'd rather see anyone that I'm playing against. It doesn't have to be a top tier player like a John Posma or a Phil. Like, of course I want to see their boards more, and because I'm playing against them and they're just tougher competitors to face. But I'd much rather see a Yancey Eaton board than I would read a pitcher's list rankings of pitchers. I couldn't care less about the top 100 pitchers that they say. But I do care about boards because of the reasons that I spoke about. Next, I saw, just quickly, I want to touch on this. I saw someone post, can we please go back to posting the orders for the main events in Vegas because it's like fun or whatever. I say fine because it's all on the same day. There's 8 drafts going on at once. Post orders. No one's going to be able to find your draft that just by searching the ADP and using the draft order because there's 8 on at once. Plus, it's all public anyways. In that Mirage Ballroom, anyone can walk in. They don't have security at this point. That's not, I don't believe, a feasible option. So people are taking photos, and that's a completely different ballgame. When you're in the public live events, anyone can walk in. So those boards are, it's a different animal, those things, than the onlines. The onlines are private. Like, no one really has access to see that except for the people in that draft, unless it gets shared, which we'll get into. But those boards, like, it's all public. So yeah, post like that. I think you understand that the live events, people are going to come in and watch unless you start getting security. Those are public boards. And yeah, like I last year I took pictures of all of them and I sent them to some people. Some people weren't there to show them the boards, but they're in a public place and anyone could have walked in, including people that weren't in the drafts. Anyone could watch. Even people can come in and watch the higher stakes, the ultimates and the diamonds and stuff like that. You want to still be respectful, you can watch it. So that's a different thing than these posting these online drafts. And it's just a different thing. So in conclusion, I think those live drafts in Vegas, that's a free-for-all. That, like, post the orders, do whatever, make it fun, make fantasy baseball fun again. That's, you enter those knowing you're in a big pub or ballroom, and a lot of people are going to see your board. And if they want to, like, that's, like, it's all public there. So I don't have an issue with that at all. Okay, the last thing I really want to get into is sharing boards privately amongst friends versus sharing boards publicly. And I think people are confused again. They're saying, well, you guys share boards amongst your friends, so why can't I post the board to the public? Well, that's not really the same thing. So I think it's you can't be half pregnant. So you can't just say, I'm gonna post this board that I was in to the public to make things fair. Well, that's not fair because, let's say I'm in that draft. Why is it fair that you're posting my board when there's like 10 other drafts that didn't get posted? So my board's plastered across the internet when none of the other ones are. That's not fair. Now you could say, well, let's post all boards publicly with names. Well, the NFPC is not going to do that because that's going to completely deter people like me from joining more drafts, and I'm going to wait longer to do my draft, so they're never going to do that. That's not a reasonable solution. I guess the solution would be to just post all board, post all ADP without names and without draft orders. So really the only way to get somebody's board, like specific board, is to really get the actual board from someone to give it to you. Now, people have been sharing boards forever, and no, it's not fair, but a lot of people do it. Not everyone has access to it, but I think that posting all boards with names, that's just never going to happen. So get that out of your head. So that comes to the crux of the argument here that we're getting into is, should people be able to stream any draft they want, post any board they want to the internet with names, because they know that people share behind the scenes? Now, this is the main point that I want to bring home. There's a phrase called, that goes, there is no free lunch, which means that basically you're not going to be able to get anything, something that's valuable without having to pay for it in some way. So where am I going with this? Some people are complaining because I don't get a board. No one shares with me. I'm new. Well, there is no free lunch. Did you ever consider that you bring nothing to the table? So why would anyone want to share their board with you? Because it's all about relationships in life, in business. And yeah, there are, people like to use the word syndicates, but I talk to people because they bring value. We have conversations. We talk about relevant discussions about the game. We talk about players. They're the people that I share boards with bring something to the table. Now, if you're someone that said, no one shares a board with me, look at yourself in the mirror and say, and ask yourself, do you bring anything to the table? Because there is no free lunch. So maybe you need to start bringing something to the table, and maybe you'll have something, you'll get something in return. So instead of just complaining to the NFBC, who, that's another thing, they have nothing to do with this. This is a schoolyard issue. This, like what Greg said, we gotta decide what's gonna happen ourselves. This isn't for them to police. This is for us to police. So for you to say that, oh, yeah, Zach shares a board with so-and-so, so I can now post his board to the public, that's not right, because it's not fair, because it's either, like I said, you can't be half pregnant. You either got to post all boards or not. So I think it's fine that they want to post all boards without names, but don't post my board of names. That's just weak. That's just completely out of line. Because another thing is, like, you don't, like, it's just, it's inconsiderate, it's selfish. Because what if I don't want my name attached to that board? Because what if I'm, like, it's a $1,500, it's a $1,700 league for fantasy baseball. Like there's could be multiple reasons why these people don't want their name attached to this board in public, that they play in a $1,700 fantasy league. Like ever think about that? But I don't know. It's just kind of shitty to do. And yeah, sometimes it's not fair. You don't get boards passed to you with all the names on it. I don't know. Like I said, there's no free lunch. Go cry about it. Maybe you don't have friends. Maybe it's because you don't bring anything to the table. Okay, I'll end it off here. One more thing that I want to say is that a lot of the people that are posting the boards and saying that I don't care, I'm going to post the board, it doesn't matter to me, I'm going to do what I want, I don't think it really makes that much of a difference, I don't think I'm hurting you, you think that your board is more valuable than it is, etc., etc., etc. All these same people find it so important and make a point to post names. So it's like, you could have got a clean board, yet you put the board with all the names on YouTube. Or you could easily just take the big sticker off, yet you say, oh, this specific league is a specialty league, so you don't get any anonymity. Why? Why is it so crucial that to show the names when you can easily have taken it off? Or I'm gonna make a point because no one else gets boards shared with them. So I'm going to post this board, but I'm not only going to post the board so everyone sees the ADP. I'm going to post the board so everyone sees the names too. And I'm going to specifically show the names with pre-draft without the board. So all three of these instances have made a specific point to show the names. And the names were an important point for them. Yet they're taking the stance that it's not harmful to people to show the names. So it just seems very, it seems very illogical to me. And I think it just makes a whole lot of common sense not to show the names. The only leg that you have to stand on is that, yes, like, these boards are shared privately amongst, I'd call it, like, cliques or friends. But maybe get one yourself and maybe look at yourself in the mirror and say, maybe I don't have this peer group because I don't bring anything to the table. There is no free lunch. There are no free boards. So one more thing that I want to talk about is that this is not an NFBC issue. This is out of their scope. And this is something that has to be policed amongst ourselves. They've been somewhat vocal about this too. And they should probably just take a back seat because, again, NFBC, you're off the hook here. I believe this is not in your scope of jurisdiction. Yet they still are opining on it, even more so than they did on the seating requests, which they probably should be more transparent on. I don't really know exactly what's going on. I know I've heard through the grapevine that people are no longer getting requests granted, but if you look at the main event on Saturday in Vegas, you still have the same people not sitting together. Granted, Liss and Erickson are together, but between me and whoever is listening, I don't think they care to be together or not. They weren't even the people requesting to be together or not, yet they were used as the example as to why people needed to be separated, which is kind of ironic. But Phil, Rob, and Steve are separated. Posma and Gruber are separated. Sean Childs and his partner Schenker are separated. Tony DiVincenzo and Dave and Jake, they are separated. So the odds of all that happening, those four groups, it's not monumental, but I calculated it's a less than 20% chance that did happen, everyone separated. So I don't know, there's some smoke there. It's just the lack of transparency in terms of what's going on. Like, you owe us an explanation of how this is happening. What software do you use? Don't just say, oh, this is our random generator. What are you using? Something off Google? Like, you need to, I think there needs to be some transparency. Mike the Mouth and Maddie Davis were asking for a live stream. That was not happening. Like, you need the trust of your players. And I want some more transparency with respect to this. That's my sidebar on this. But in terms of this actual issue of posting boards, that needs to be policed amongst the players. So if you're producing content, paywalled content, and I pay for it and then I post it publicly, that sort of fucks you over. Sort of same way you fuck me over when you're posting a draft that I paid $1,700 for, and I'm doing multiple ones after that. It's sort of the same thing, but not everyone is paywall content. Like, when Wardog posted that board that we did last night, he doesn't have anything. So what am I going to do? Post his Survivor videos? Like, it's already public. So he's got nothing to lose. So there's got to be a way that I'm going to think about it during the season, and there's got to be some sort of recourse amongst us when stuff like this happens. And I think people are becoming more aware of it, and I think even just like some of the analysts that live stream their drafts, just like voicing my displeasure with it, maybe we could have had a better way of going about it. But at the same time, it goes both ways. It wasn't really respectful discourse when I voiced my displeasure with it at first. It was sort of like a fuck off from two people. It was basically fuck off without actually saying fuck off. It was basically a fuck you. So that's when I said, okay, let's go. But when it's all said and done, I think those people do now have a better understanding of just that it upsets people. So it is going to deter some of that, but not all of it, because you have some people, just some random people posting stuff and they just don't care. So, I don't know. The only reasonable thing that I've heard so far is that we share boards amongst friends, so why shouldn't they share boards publicly to even it out? And I've sort of talked about that already. But the fact of the matter is, like, when I'm sharing something with somebody, it's really not the same, because let's say I share the board with, I really don't want to use any names, but somebody that I'm good friends with and I talk to quite a bit. I'm pretty confident that person is not going to go look at my board or look at anyone else's board and start copying those pics. The people that I associate with, and I think these groups of people that share boards, again, trying not to name any names, but those groups of people aren't going to just like sheepishly pick like the players because someone picked them. Whereas when like Phil's board got posted, it's telling. Look how many likes that thing got when he posted it. And it's just like you have somebody retweeting it saying like, look at Phil, the best player in the world, and just like fucking just like slobbing his knob over this. All these people out there in the general public, they're fucking sheeps. They're going to copy these picks for no reason. That's what you don't want. I guess that is a biased comment. That's what you don't want. But that's the thing. Is like what people don't really get is like when these boards are shared among groups, it's generally trusted. And it's like that again. There is no free lunch. We all bring something to the table. We're not just copying picks. Whereas when you post it, you just see all these comments like, oh, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And it's kind of funny. When Phil posted his board, he's getting... the comments are flooding in, asking him questions, people very engaged with it. And then when you have the actual analysts that are like, have their content, have their websites, they post their board, it's fucking crickets because no one gives a fucking shit. That's exactly... It's funny. They sort of proved our point. When I say our point, I mean me and Phil. Like I know we've been, like, he's been the one that's sort of been targeted here, and I was also in that draft, but it sort of proves our point, because, like, yeah, no one cares, no one's going to copy these picks, like, it's no different than when you share in groups, but I'm telling you, when we share in groups, it's not just copying, it's a collaboration. This is, like, just looking at all of the comments, look at Phil's board that he posted, look at all the comments under that. And look at another analyst posting his board. And look at the difference. Look at how many likes he got. That proves the point. So this is basically backfired on them. Because if you just look at Phil's post and look at the likes, look at the comments, and tell me people aren't going to... Tell me posting that board publicly doesn't impact things. Like, to me... Maybe I'm not doing the greatest job of explaining this, but it's plainly obvious to me. So I guess in conclusion, I do not think boards should be posted publicly. I don't think you can avoid the private sharing of boards. It's just unavoidable. But I think posting it publicly makes it more inequitable. I'm talking with names. If they want to post all the boards without names, fine, whatever. That's not even, no one's arguing about that. No one cares about that. Post the boards with no names, whatever, all of them. But if somebody's posting boards with names, like specific boards, that becomes more unfair because, like I said before, you're posting specific people's boards. Like Phil was targeted, I was targeted. That's not fair. That makes it more unfair. And the fact that it goes public, I think it's just gonna cause people to sheepishly pick these picks, and it's just worse for the overall game. Like I don't know, like you want to draw more people into this, like that's really not my agenda. My goal is to just want to play. I'm not looking to like honestly, I'm not looking to grow the game. Like that's not one of my goals when I interact on here. I just like playing the game, and I want to play the game fair, and I don't want my picks posted, just like, because you got all the people out there just are gonna copy it, and not me per se, but it's just like, people want to just be told what to do. And if you don't realize that by now, the masses, I'm not talking about everyone, they just want to be told what to do. They just, and seeing a board like that, and again, looking at the comments, it's just the proof's in the pudding that these boards are more valuable than anything that any content provider can produce. The end. Good luck this season.